I want to read a couple quotes just before we before I give some of the teens an opportunity to share. And I know some of you I've mentioned, you know, you guys doesn't have to be anything real super profound. I just want some of you to be willing to share from your heart what you got out of Acquire the Fire 2 weeks ago, what it means for your life, you know, why you want to serve the Lord, those kind of things. But I want to read a couple quotes to you before I let some of the teens share and then before I begin to kind of interview Joe and talk a little bit about what God's done in his life. But Ron Luce said a couple things here that I find interesting, and you can find these quotes on the left-hand side of your bulletin. The first quote that I put in there today was this. This is what Ron says. We're in the middle of a spiritual battle, but also in the middle of a cultural war. Your generation, talking to the teens, is being pounded with sexual messages. All the messages being sent through the movies, the internet, point-and-click pornography. It's literally destroying your generation. Well, what's his response? The generation that cannot be changed by the world is the generation that will change the world. See, that's where our heart is at. This is what Ron and Shandell, Matt, Jim Dudek, as he's involved with us, Joe and Nicole, you know, their heartbeat as we interact with the teens is to create a generation of kids that won't be changed and shaped by the forces in our world, but instead will be the generation that changes the world. Does that excite you, or is that just words? You know, that's what we that's what we want to do. And it's not something that we can do on our own strength. This is only something that God can do as the Spirit of God gets a hold of each individual heart as we minister to these teens. Josh McDowell, a very well-known Christian apologist and has had a lot of contact with teens over the years, speaking engagements. He wrote this: 51% of today's church youth don't even believe Jesus bodily rose from the dead. Unless they believe the historical truth and why Jesus was in fact raised from the dead, their faith will be in vain. You know, it's important to us that these kids have a solid biblical foundation for their worldview and that their life be, you know, that they rise up and that the Spirit of God empowers them through the Word of God to live and be what Christ wants them to be to their generation and to the world. So, you know, it's an exciting thing to be able to be part of something that I know God wants to do, something that's so close to his heart. I think statistically, one of the statistics that was a prime motivating factor for Ron Luce and the Teen Mania Ministries in trying to help youth groups and youth pastors disciple their kids and grow their youth groups was that statistically, teenagers that aren't part of some kind of a church youth group, you know, Christian teenagers, without that kind of foundation, when they go off to college, only 4% of them continue to follow Christ. Only 4%. That's 4 out of every 100. So we've got to change that statistic. We desperately have to change that statistic. I don't want any of our kids to be a statistic. Had the opportunity last Sunday afternoon. It was kind of a crazy day after getting back from the rally. I was asked to share at Johnson O'Malley Group, which is a group that was a nonprofit organization that was put together to help Native American teenagers in the community. And there were 7 Native American graduates. They're all kids that I knew, either from youth group, from the high school, or even Fieldside School, of all things. It was kind of interesting to me, too. Did you look in the insert in the newspaper? There was a few kids in that list that claimed the Gospel Chapel is their church. I don't think they've ever been in this building. Kind of fun. But anyway, but all the 7 kids that graduated, I had the opportunity, I knew all 7 of them, and was able to share some things. And later, a gentleman by the name of Russell Two Crows shared some things. And one thing that he said to the kids that I kind of rebelled against at one point, just because he was making a general statement, you know, he was trying to encourage the kids, and what he shared was quite encouraging, with the exception of this one statement. He said to the kids, you know, at some point, you know, maybe in your college years or down the road, you're going to find yourself strung out on drugs and alcohol, and I hope and pray that you'll remember these things and you'll remember these principles. And I thought to myself, I hope that doesn't happen. I'm not going to assume that any of those kids ends up strung out on drugs and alcohol. You, perhaps there's that likelihood. You know, and I understood what the gentleman was saying, but I just rebelled against that one statement because I thought, no, I don't want to see any of these 7 kids strung out on anything. You know, I want them to make a difference with their lives. I want them to live a life that honors God. And of course, a lot of the kids that were there, some of them I know don't know the Lord. But anyway, it was an interesting time. And so again, I don't want those kids to be a statistic. You know, statistically, it's likely that many of them will end up in that place, but I don't want to see it happen. So with that in mind, before we get into Joe's testimony and what Joe's going to share, some of the teens, would any of you want to come up and take the mic and just share a little bit about Acquire the Fire or something that the Lord showed you while you were there? Are you going to go first? Okay, come on up, April. Come on up. Now, I am recording this. I wanted to record this because, you know, yeah. So tell us what's your name?
I'm April.
Right, and you love the Lord?
Yes.
Lots and lots?
Tons.
All right. April's going to share a little bit about what God showed her.
Okay, so, it wasn't my first time going to Acquire the Fire, and I guess all I really expected was to just... Okay, all I really kind of expected was to just, like, be in a place where I could be, like, unashamed with my worship and stuff like that for God, and it really... It's a big experience, even though, you know, I've been there a few times, it still captivates my heart, and it's like, it reminds me most of the time that what I'm living for is real, and I'm not the only one out there, and yeah, mostly.
Okay. That's good. Thank you, April. I think even though we have been to a number of those, that was probably a larger group than last year, don't you think? Was the stadium more full? It really was. I mean, and I don't know how many sit in that stadium, but we're looking at maybe 8,000 to 10,000 at least there worshiping the Lord, and it's a very powerful experience to be in that at that event. 6,000 about? That's what they said. Okay, guys, I think it was more than the previous year, so it was it seemed to be a really good turnout. Good. Anybody else? Just something that you got out of the weekend, something that it might change your outlook, or Jessica? Jessica's been going on teenagerhood for about 8 years now. When she was 4, she thought she was a teenager because she always came to youth group function. So she's growing up so fast. Here you go, pumpkin.
I don't know. I've gone to a few Acquire the Fires before this, too. I got to join youth group a year early because he's my dad. So I had a lot of fun, but I think this was the one Acquire the Fire where I got something out of it. And I was excited because I was ready to get something out of it. I think I was scared because I thought I was falling away because I never was doing anything much. He was just kind of there, something I'd pray at. I went there. They had a little thing where they had, it's a big room, so they had like 15 people have a cross on a different section of the room. And you could go up and take a nail and write on a piece of paper what was keeping you away. And I know it just wasn't because of what we did. It was because of what I was willing to do. I felt that wall break down. I felt it break down. There was no more wall. It was gone. And if that statistic, that 4 out of 100, I'm going to be one of those 4. No, you know what? I'm going to be a 5th one out of 100. Yeah. And I'm going to grab one of those other 95, and maybe all 6 of us can go grab another one. Let's bring that to 100 out of 100. So, and I think it'd help if I do go to like Oklahoma Wesleyan or another Christian college, but even if I went to something like Stanford and some secular university, I have to say secular like all mean. It's not cool. It's not going to change me. I'm not going to pay attention to anything that isn't true. And I mean, the Bible's more reliable than some of our school textbooks. So, most of our school textbooks. Thank you. So I just felt that wall break down, and it was really good experience. And there was a time when the entire building had their arms in the air, and those who didn't were down in tears. I think I was both. And that's it.
Yeah. We had a few kids that made some first-time commitments to follow Christ, at least three that we know of, so it was a good thing. Oh, excellent. So some first-time commitments and some significant recommitments, so excellent. I know we don't have a ton of you guys here. Anybody else want to share? Jesse or Courtney, you want to come up? Short is good. That's okay. Doesn't have to be long. Courtney's namesake.
Okay. I've been to a few of the events too before, and I usually get something out of it, but this time it was kind of, I've been like off track with God, and I've been like way out in left field, and this one just helped me like get back on track and be like, okay, this is where you're at, and this is where you need to keep going down the road instead of way off this way. That's pretty much it.
Good. Excellent. Thank you. Appreciate it. We really want to keep, you know, Courtney and Ashley in our prayers too, you know, as they are leaving the high school environment. You're both going to CSC though, right? So you're still going to be in the area. So we have the opportunity to uphold you and encourage you. And even though you're looking at a secular college in Chattern, the great thing is we've got a nice network of Christian college students in the area that can strengthen you guys. So even though that can be a tough thing, hopefully it'll be an encouragement too. Nicole, did you?
Yeah.
Okay, come on up.
Well, I know I'm not a teen, but it's okay. Like a lot of people know, Joe and I used to work for Choir of the Fire, and it was actually kind of good to actually sit back and watch it and not have to worry about the stress and all that stuff of planning what's going on with all the bands and everything. And just watching these kids completely unfold for the Lord like was like the best thing in the world. And you could probably put Hannah Montana because I'm sick too. So anyway, so it was really cool to see like these kids, not even from our youth group, from across the room, like Jessica was talking about, like really, really just getting like face down in front of the Lord. It was like the best thing ever to watch. And, you know, really A Choir of the Fire, even for me, was just like, now I'm doing like quiet times every day. I haven't had a quiet time in so long, ever since I really left the Honor Academy. And I've been studying about David, and just like, it's just amazing, because now I'm like actually excited to read the Bible. I get mad if Joe calls me, like, he's like, last night he called me, he's like, what are you doing? I'm reading the Bible. Like, leave me alone. So like, sorry. But you know, it's just one of those things. I've never, a long time ago, I used to be really hungry for just wanting to know the word. And like, I always felt stupid because I didn't always understand it. Like Ron and I would get in all these like debates and stuff because I didn't really get the theology behind it. And now it's just like, I'm hungry for it. And I'm asking Joe about this stuff and asking Ron and even calling Laura and asking her like, what does this mean? And I don't know. But anyway, so it's really cool just to see these kids get hungry and keep going and always come to us if, you know, you need anything, and we're always here. So, yes, amen. Go God.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay, we're going to do it real quick is we'll let the kids head downstairs for Children's Church. We're probably going to run a little bit of past noon here. I want to give Joe time to share from his heart as well as ask him some questions. So he's helping with a puppet show, so we'll get him later. So we'll let them head down. We can edit this big gap of space away out of the thing later. So don't want to cut anybody else off. And did any of, where did the rest of my teens go? Did you, anything? Anybody else? No? It's good. All right. Joe, come on up for a little bit here, man. I'll put you on the hot seat for a minute. I'm going to give you a microphone, too, I think. We have a little bit of interaction here. Some of you haven't had really the opportunity to get to know Joe. I first met Joe when we're tangled up, aren't we? Here, I'll go this way. My first exposure to Joe Reeves was being involved in the Chardon County Players. Some of the musicals that we've done. We did Mr. Scrooge together. You weren't in Mr. Scrooge. You were in Fiddler on the Roof. You were chubby? Okay. And Peter Pan, and I remember you kind of being a wild-haired, slightly rebellious kind of kid. And so it was really a privilege for us to be able to take Joe, I say us because I didn't go to that one, but the Detroit Battle Cry event that Ron and Chandler went to, and they were sick that weekend on the bus. Ron says he just has sort of vague memories of hallucinating during this trip with fevers and things. Poor guy.
I don't know how he missed it, but I'm like crying, and I'm walking, and I'm crying, and I'm like, I was just like, don't even know what's going on. And I'm like, ask Ron about it later. And he's like, no, I don't even know what I don't even know what happened.
Ron was sick the first half of the trip. Chandler was sick the second half of the trip. But they both got through it. And you really nailed some things down. Tell me the decision that you made. What impacted you at that event in Detroit? And what exactly did you nail down with the Lord?
Well, first of all, it's like, I'd always thought I was a good person, which, for the record, I'm not.
God, hold it just a little closer to your face. There you go. I want to make sure it gets recorded.
I was one of those people that I didn't drink in high school. And I did things like substance abuse councils, and I spoke in front of hundreds of people. And, you know, I was this person that thought I was on the right track, and I thought I was just awesome, and I thought in my mind I was God. And when I'd got to college, I started partying almost every other night. I dropped out of college to join a band. I was living with my mother. I had no job. And then about maybe 2 weeks before we went to Detroit, I'd finally gotten a job, but I was still living with my mom. And I'd been in this Bible study for a while just because I liked the girl that was leading it, to be honest. And don't laugh at me. I'm just telling you the truth. And I kind of rebelled against the Word of God, because it didn't make sense to me. And I thought I was saved because that's kind of the culture I was brought up in. It's, if you're a good person and you truly mean it, that you're going to heaven or whatever, you're saved, or, you know, everything's good and dandy. And actually, I randomly ran into Jason, and I remembered him from a plane. He's like, hey, come to Saturday Night Live. And I'm like, okay, I go to Bible study, might as well. You know, just kind of like, good people go to church, and I'm a good person, so I just, you know, did it. And it's kind of all circulating around my thoughts of myself. I had a very high image of myself. And I remember going to this Battle Cry event and hearing Ron Luce talk about pretty much what I thought of myself. You know, and he made bold statements like, if you just pray a prayer, you've really done nothing because you have no action in your life. And he was making statements like that, and he was talking about just saturation in Christ and different levels of, I guess, Christianhood, is that, if that makes sense. And I just really sunk. It just sunk into me because I'm sitting here thinking, well, I'm a good person. Well, I'm this, you know. I've been going to a Bible study. I've been going to church. You know, I don't do bad things. It clicked in my head that almost everything that I've done has been for myself, and so it's bad anyways. Yes, and I decided to commit everything that I do from that moment forward to the image of Christ. And it's really kind of funny because he's like, all right, now if you really truly committed yourself to Christ, I want you to come down to the field. And I'm like, still, you know, I just committed my heart to Christ. And I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. And I promise you, and this is where my experience with God was more than just a head connection. All right, this is what happened. You don't have to believe me, but this is crazy. So I'm sitting here, and he's like, come down. I'm like, no. God was like, no, you will live for me, and you will show it. That's kind of where it was like, okay. And then I'm bawling, and I'm crying, and I've never, I mean, if you've been to my wedding, you know I cry a lot because I'm an emotional guy. I have never cried harder in my life. And I'm crying to the point where I feel like my head is just going to pop out. And, you know, I have my hands raised to heaven because I've just realized that Christ is all there is on this earth. There is nothing else. So that's kind of
good. And so that leads into kind of a more complicated chain of events. And we begin to see a significant change in your life as God is pulling you closer to him, and you find yourself appalled at, remember having conversations with you, you know, being appalled at the things that your unsaved friends were doing and how you used to do that. And so in the process of all that, you decide to go ahead and go to the Honor Academy, which is basically a 1-year Christian boot camp of sorts for people that want to work in Teen Mania and plan these youth events. Mm-hmm. And I know you met Nicole there. Yeah. So what was your experience? How did you grow during that time, and what did you do? And probably after this question, I'm just going to let you get on with what you wanted to share from the scriptures. You know, so.
Well, I'm this new young believer, and I have no idea what to do. You know, I'm like, do I read my Bible? How do you pray? And I just had so many questions that I just had no idea how to find the answer to. And I was really appalled with things that were just going on around me. I don't like those testimonies. Just a side note that is like, oh, I was this, and then I got saved and it's over. But I'm just real quick to tell you. I was addicted to pornography since I was like 11 years old. I started drinking in college. I started doing all these weird things. I started just screwing up my life. I was really hiding from the fact that I was a sinner. And so when my sin got exposed before God, it was such a hardcore change in my heart that instant, okay, I quit swearing. Every other word that came out of my mouth was the F word. It was that hardcore. I quit swearing. When I went home, I threw away everything that I had that was just filthy and disgusting, and it just turned my stomach sick. And I saw these people doing it, and I wanted to get away from it, for one. And I didn't know how. So I remember them talking about, while we were in Detroit, this Honor Academy thing, and my friend Derek Eisenbron signed up for it because he was like, well, there's a card here. So I was like, hey, he's doing it, so I'll do it too. You know, not even thinking about it. And I was really praying and asking God what he wants me to do with my life, because I had no idea. I get a phone call after some kind of jazz concert thing that summer, and I'm talking for like 3 hours with this person, and I have like my doubts about it because I'm still human, and I don't want to do things that are hard yet because I haven't trained myself. And the whole time I hear God just pushing me forth. Yes, do it, go. This is what I want for you. And so, you know, I submitted to that, even though it was hard. And it was a place, because I was so young, it was a place in time where I was saturated with the Spirit so heavily that I just learned and grew, and I mean, just leaps and bounds. People were just noticing differences in me, differences in my attitude, and even my parents, when I would call them and talk to my mom, she would just say, you're different. You know, my dad said that I was going to a cult, and He's like, if you come back and your name's Todd, I'm going to be really freaked out. And, you know, there was just so much difference because I was renewing my mind to be like Christ. I was literally, and the leaders of the Honor Academy said this, literally, we are brainwashing you out of this culture, you know. Jason had said a quote a little bit ago about, from Ron Luce, you know, sex and immorality and all these just crazy things are being pounded into our teens. And I was just living in that culture. And so when I got out of it, it really just gave me a lot of time to just focus on what Christ thought about what Christ thought about sex, or what Christ thought about how we should act, or you know, it was an alien environment. It's kind of the only way I can put it. And when you're surrounded by the Spirit constantly on a 24/7 basis, you're just going to grow so heavy. And so that's kind of the experience that I had there. It was just a lot of growth and just a great experience. And I met the most beautiful woman in the whole world. And it was just good. It was a good thing.
See, we had some conversations when even before and then after you got back. And the thing that I knew that God had done a significant work in your life, because I don't see very much of this, is that it was such a strong 180 in your life that God gave you kind of a hatred for the things that you used to love that he hates. You know, and to me, that's the thing that showed me that God had done a very significant, very important spiritual work in your heart, that you had the level of repentance that you showed and the hatred for the things in your heart that God hates, in essence, was so strong. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you this mic and let you finish up.
Oh, for I have a bad habit of finding the longest passages and reading them. And I'm not a very good reader, so bear with me. today, like I was talking about, just the saturation that I found when I was there, and just the heart change that I had, it was just, this is all cultivated, and it's all perfected, because Christ is the perfecter of our faith, in a relationship with him. That's kind of what I'm going to be talking to you about. If you don't have a relationship with Christ, if you don't understand what Christ looks like, it's not going to make sense, okay? And you're going to leave here today, and there's not going to be any change. It's going to be just words that just go in one ear and out the other. So if it's okay, I'm going to pray real quick because I'm nervous. Heavenly Father, I just pray, Lord, that your Spirit comes forth and just rests here, Lord, that Father, we can just learn and understand what you want us to learn and understand, Lord. And we just praise you and thank you for just unending blessings on our lives, Lord. I just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read Colossians 3, 1 through 17. Try and stay awake. Kidding. Since then, you have been raised. He's talking to the, what's Colossian? Anyways, I don't know what kind of people that is, but he's talking to them. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on a new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And all these virtues put on love. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, and as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I'd just like to point out a few things. I shared this with our youth group once because this is just, this whole passage was just a catalyst to my faith. Okay? There's a shift here from your old self to your new self because you are made new in Christ. Okay? Does everyone understand that? New in Christ. I lost my notes. Oh dear. This could get ugly. And I found them. Stay. So I'm going to be kind of tying this verse into what I'm talking about, and that's a relationship with Christ. Okay? When you have a relationship with somebody, you tend to pick up habits that the other person has. Like for example, as just kind of a crude example, but my wife is from Wisconsin. Okay, and I hang out with my wife so much that I even start sometimes I'm like, salad? What? Because we are together so much, we spend so much time with her, I've learned about her so much that I start picking up habits that my wife does and vice versa. You know, so when you have a relationship with somebody, you start to look like the other person. Does that make sense? Okay, and the easiest way to portray that is a marriage between a man and a woman. You achieve this. You look like the other person when you spend time with them, right? The only way to do that is to spend time with people. Man, what was I thinking when I wrote this? Okay. So, I'm sorry. I'm kind of a sporadic note taker. So if in a relationship with somebody, you want to look like them, that's the goal. With a relationship with Christ, we want to look like him. We want to function like him. We want to act like him in all aspects of our life. Well, then we have to spend time with Christ. Okay, there's no other way around it. If you don't spend time with Christ, then you're not going to look like Christ. All right, the verse in Romans that talks about one of our main purposes on this earth is to be made into the image of Christ. Because Christ is all and is in all, right? Okay, so how do we do that? How do we obtain that? Well, it says in Genesis, in the beginning, the Word was God, and the Word was with God. What? John. What? Then it did. I thought that was in Genesis. Man, I'm sorry, guys. Anyways, just forget about my inaccuracies. We're pressing forward. And then it talks about Jesus being the living Word. Okay? So if the Word was God and the Word was with God, and Jesus is the living Word, and this is the Word of God, well, how do you get to know Jesus? You read your Bible. Right? What I'm sharing with you guys is probably the most basic aspect of the Christian faith. You read your Bible. Right, when you have something periling in your life and you don't know what to do, you test it to Scripture. Right? Because that's the very character and nature of Christ is in this book. Because he was the living word of God. Does that make sense to everyone? Right. Great. Okay. And as a result of this, this relationship and spending time in the Word, getting to know Christ, praying, okay, you're going to have a hatred towards sin. You're not going to have a hatred towards sin until you understand what sin is and how God feels about sin, right? All the spending time and learning the habits of God is going to make you hate sin because he hates sin. Right? It says in Psalms 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Well, if you're delighting yourself in the Lord, if you're reading your Bible, if you're praying, if you're having a relationship with Jesus, the desires of your heart are going to be purely what God has intended for your life. And that is not sin. Okay? And I read this verse in Colossians. Because it kind of, in the NIV, it's titled Rules for Holy Living. And holy just means set apart, different. Okay, it puts forth some sin that we don't even think is sin. Filthy language. I have talked to Christians, Bible-believing Christians, that do not think that filthy language is a sin. Okay, I've talked to Christians that don't believe that pornography is a sin. I know people who don't believe that chewing or smoking is a sin. Okay, and if you had this relationship with Christ, you would understand that he hates these things. I don't know if any of you guys have heard a guy named Paul Washer. He talks about, it's one of my favorite sermons of all time. I can listen to it over and over and over again in the same day. And he says, most of the things that we do, God hates. Most of the things that we do, God hates. The only way to figure out what he hates is to spend time with him. Right? And if this isn't making it any sense to you guys and I made you mad because I made you not feel like a Christian, maybe that's God telling you that he wants to have a relationship with you. Maybe that's God convicting your heart to turn from your sin, to turn from your evil desires. To find his heart, right? Amen. That's all I have to share. So, was that less than 20 minutes? Okay.
I really wanted to just get you a glimpse of Joe's kind of raw passion. It's okay. We'll get him straight about the references and stuff. That's fine. Yeah. We're good. But I wanted you to see what God is doing in the leadership of our youth group, within our youth group, you know. And to me, Joe and Ron, it's the times that I've spent with these guys and we've prayed. I see God so at work in their heart and in their lives that they have a desire to know him more. And a disdain and a distaste for anything that would cause them to have less than the kind of relationship with God than they need to have, and that's why I'm excited to have them, in this leadership capacity and have them pursuing ministry as a vocation and various things like that. So I really wanted you to get a glimpse. We're going to pray together. I want you to think about this stuff because Joe's brought out some really important points. If God's done a work in your life, what are the things that you still desire that show you haven't allowed him to do the work that he needs to do? Let's pray. Lord, thank you that through the sacrifice on the cross, we have the capacity to earn forgiveness, to gain forgiveness as we believe in you. But the reality is that as we change and as we draw closer to you and as you mold and shape our heart, some of those things that we used to want to do, we ought to not want to do those anymore. We see that our heart changes, our desires begin to change, and we are more molded and shaped into what you want us to be and what we need to be in this earth, what you intended for us to be in the first place. And God, we're not talking about external changes. We're not talking about a holier-than-thou attitude. We're talking about servants of Christ who love the Lord with their heart, soul, mind, and strength, that don't really have any use for the things of the world that would pull us away, but we're focused on that which is eternal and that which is important, and that's seeing those around us come to know you. Thank you, Lord, for the change that you can bring, the change that we so deeply hunger to see. Father, I look at our community and people that are embroiled in addictions and addictive behaviors and destructive attitudes, that maybe they're trying to take care of it themselves, maybe they're trying to do something on their own, but the only freedom from that is by committing themselves 100% wholly to you. So, Lord, we hunger for that kind of life change, so that when people in our community look around and they begin to see the miracles that you've wrought, the miracles that you've brought inside the hearts and the minds of people in our community, there will be no doubt in people's minds that something has happened here, something that they need. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.